Greetings, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Compare and Campaign. I am your host, Tom Lando, and with me, as always, is my co-host and co-GM,
McGill.
And it is episode 179, which is being recorded on the 31st of January, 2024. Last day of January. Here we are.
R.I.P. January, man. It feels like January lasted about a million years.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Man. This episode, we have got... Okay. You just, like, dropped something on me that is, like, role-playing related, but I guess, do you not want to talk about it on the podcast yet?
I'll say this, because it is still in such an early form, but, I mean, we've talked about your RPG projects that you've built, you know, Ceremony in Shadow, Orb Server. Well, after we finished our campaign of Teeth, and we are still... currently playing our Wicked Ones campaign, our friend Grant and I, friend of the show Grant and I, we've gotten really interested in Forged in the Dark games, and so we're collaborating on our own. But it's going to be a while before it's ready to present. So that's what Tom is alluding to, is before the show, we were just discussing the ideas that Grant and I have been batting around.
Yeah, I was, like, about to go to my normal, like, oh, here, what are we doing in the episode? And then I was like, man, I just heard this thing, and it feels insane not to talk about it. But,
I mean, it is. It's RPG-related, and it's show-related. So, yeah, I mean, it's not ready for any kind of presentation to the public yet. But that's what's going on, is working on a little something.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about releasing Orb Server on the podcast, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, good.
And I feel like both Orb Server and Ceremony in Shadow, like, we talked a bit about them when we were talking about Caltrop Core. You didn't really go into them too much, I don't think, but they were definitely mentioned.
I went into the core of them. We did the whole interview about, you know, what they were about and... what they meant to me and all that stuff. Anyways, so we're coming back to my 5e campaign, Coyote's Aegis, but I'll tell you something. Apparently, next week, the hiatus is over.
I can't believe it.
Coyote's Aegis is finally coming back. I'm finally going to be logging new sessions, meaning more content for episodes. We might not catch up with the present. Who knows? If things are going to start catching up in leaps and bounds once I get off this transcript that we've been doing. Because I can only really do the general gist if I don't have the transcript.
The resuming of Coyote's Aegis, it's been like it's like the sword of Damocles that's been hanging over this podcast the whole time.
It's been hanging over my head because Dengus got to get back to running 5e after months of only running Forged in the Dark and World of Darkness and, like, you know, dice pool based games. That's what those games have in common, I'm pretty sure. You know, it's not exactly the same, but they both have dice pools. But back in the day, back in, let's see, July 28th, 2021, when I was running Coyote's Aegis, we had just gotten to the big climax, the finale of the Naval Theater of Operation, I believe it's Riverbed. Operation, right?
Yeah.
Operation
River. It's been going on for the past few episodes.
It's going to be going on for a while because it's so long. It's like divided into three parts and all that.
And so on this episode, we're coming to the end of the first part?
Yes.
Wow. Correct. It is. It's really big. Oh, of course, that makes sense because you were saying that this is based off of a Adventurers League epic, right?
Yes.
And you're using the whole meat.
I use the whole meat.
So it's that really is like epic in the true sense of the word.
Yeah, pretty much. So shall we?
Well, I'll just will just say that at the tail of the show over in the RPG Danger Room, I've got a new RPG here. We've referenced it before, and now we finally get to look at it. It is Skate Wizards, a steezy role-playing game about radical and arcane shredding of the gnar.
And largely brought to me by Loot the Body, the band that does, you know, Dungeons & Dragons and role-playing game-related songs.
Yeah, Loot the Body did the whole soundtrack to Skate Wizards, and I'll talk a bit more about that in the Danger Room because I bought a friend of mine a hard copy of the Skate Wizards bundle for Christmas, so I can tell you all the stuff that comes with it in addition to the source book.
Wow, were they into it?
Oh yeah, yeah, it was my friend Mike, but I don't think it's one of the Mikes that I know that you know. My friend Mike from Toronto, and he loves wizards of all kinds. He thinks that wizards are the best, and so Skate Wizards, of course, with its amazing artwork and its tongue-in-cheek writing, it was perfect for him. His partner even sent me an unboxing reaction video when he got it, and it really brought a smile to both his face and mine.
Nice. So shall I begin?
Please do.
At the top of the session, I say, the sky, she blaze, the tides, they crash. My brother says, the Alex, he smoke. I say, the snow, he fall. With the raft secured, their final target is the royal flagship of Agaloc, where they are expected to find one of the Draelic nobles that the enemy has captured. Once again, they have the opportunity to patch themselves up before reaching the flagship, gaining the benefits of a short rest for free should they require them. And Alex says, man, I just realized action surge is short rest. I could have been really aggressive this whole time. Said, yeah, I was a bit surprised you weren't. As you approach the royal flagship, your trioptics allow you to scope out the deck. You see six soldiers on deck, accompanied by one of the commanding fiends you had been warned about in your briefing, the ones you are meant to interrogate to the best of your ability. There are several slaves on the deck as well, generally tending to the ship, while the soldiers on deck focus on holding back attackers at range. In front of the fiend, an elf wearing a white sash over the ragged clothes of a slave is pushed against the railing of the deck at the prow of the ship, obviously meant as a hostage. Two more soldiers emerge from below decks carrying a big barrel between them. As they cross the deck, without warning, the barrel explodes, killing both soldiers instantly. The masts are shattered, falling across the deck, while fires break out on either end. The slaves on board swiftly take their opportunity to abandon ship, but you see through your trioptics that two are trapped under the fallen masts. More alarmingly, the elven hostage at the front of the ship was thrown into the water. He managed to throw himself over a piece of floating debris, but appears to have lost consciousness. If he isn't removed from the water, he'll likely drown quickly in his current state. So they have this very limited landing zone in the center of the ship because, the places, the masts have fallen, there's fire, the thing is taking on water, there's not a lot of room for them to, land with their, jetpacks. Gent doesn't even go for the landing zone. Gent immediately dives for the hostage. We roll initiative. I have a sort of like, so this map, I'm pretty sure, is directly based on the map that they provide in the epic. But I feel like I might as well share the image with you so you can put it in the show notes. Because it's, it's the kind of map that, like, you can sort of see the progress of it over time as the fires spread and whatnot.
This is a Roll20 map, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I recognize all those free assets.
It's just one that I made, but, like, you know, based on...
I recognize your little madness guys.
Yeah, based... it's one that I made based on... the map that is presented in the module, Blood Above, Blood Below. So they roll initiative. Two slaves are caught under fallen masts. In addition to the captive that Jen has gone for in the water. As Hex and Connor come in for their landing, one of the well-dressed soldiers on the aft deck fires on Connor using blow darts. The first shot hits. There's a little side note here. Sorry if I'm a bit slow tonight. Allergies have been kicking my ass. Chantel says, same. Anyways, Connor...
Wait, what time of year was that? Summer?
Yeah, this is like the middle of July. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got good allergy medicines these days, it seems. Connor takes 10 piercing damage from a blow dart. Connor pulls the dart from his right shoulder as the cloak's effect dissipates, but a second dart hits the deck below him. It's always the most important thing about Connor getting hit that I have to note is that the first hit he takes knocks out the effect of his cloak of displacement so that he's no longer imposing disadvantage, you know? Jent says, okay, I swim for the hostage, slave, whatever. I say, I assumed you were jump packing. And Jent says, oh, right, sure. Not as heroic as I pictured, but I will do that instead. And I'm like, it's pretty badass. Jent comes tearing down out of the sky in a streak of fiery light, descending with their jetpack down to the bottom of the boat's prow, snatches the unconscious elf rack by the back of the collar. Conveniently, you've got a couple of regular healing potions, which are not worth much to you, but to this guy. And Jent is like, yeah, I will force feed him a potion. Jent grabs the elven noble, pours a healing potion into their mouth. After a few moments, the ragged captive is awake. The spray of water below is enough to tell you it's quite cold, Jent. And Jent says, I would like to move the noble back to our ship and drop him off. I say, roll athletics with advantage. Get a 21. I say, you lift the elf and quickly fly back to the Bloody Fury, dropping the hostage off safely before heading back to the battle. I say, cool. Next up is Hex. And they've just completed one objective by getting that hostage. Hex goes to try and free the slaves from the timber, and so he makes an athletics check. The slave he only gets a 14, so the slave remains pinned beneath the mast, which proves too heavy for Hex to easily lift off of him. Says, curses, why didn't I rage first? I rage and I end my turn. I say, I'd let you do the second roll because you'd have advantage from rage. Seems silly to do it in that order. And then he rolls again and gets 12. And Chantel's like, yeah, not angry enough. Too bad. Connor is next. Connor goes to envelop the back half of the boat in the spell Dawn. And... So he lights up. If you're looking at the picture in our supplemental materials, the dawn starts at the bottom of the stairs leading up to the upper deck at the back. The champion and one of the two defenders in red managed to dive for cover at the last moment, but the other two hostiles on that side of the boat are caught under Paylor's open glare. The recruit at the bottom of the stairs looks just about desiccated. Connor backs up a step and ends his turn. The defenders in red on either side of them hold their ground, using blow darts to attack Hex at a distance. One hits Hex in the right shoulder, the other three miss. Glancing off his rough hide, Hex takes 6 piercing damage after resistance. The fiend attempts to enthrall Connor with some foul magic. Connor resists with advantage, gets a nat 20. Paylor rebuffs the demon's advances. Not a chance, fiend. The recruits open fire on Hex with their blow darts from all over the decks. Two hits, one to the left shoulder, one to the upper right arm, for 4 and 4 piercing damage after reduction, totaling 8 piercing damage. 3 more recruits come up from a breach in the aft deck. Gent part due. Always do that, gent part due. Now that gent's so high level, they get that second that second turn on the first round. Gent zooms back to the ship and lands next to Hex, and shoots, one of the guys in red, says, going to hopefully cover Hex while people are being rescued. And, they get a 21. Once again, Gent streaks out of the air toward the deck, landing and firing a pitch-black shot into the arm of the nearest defender. He howls in pain and grips his upper left arm, but he is still up. The well-dressed soldier on the aft deck rushes down the stairs, firing 2 blow darts at Hex as he goes. One hits Hex in the head for 6 piercing damage after reduction. Next up is Gent again. This is the top of the initiative. Gent says, remind me, we are supposed to interrogate these guys, so not kill? And Hex says, we gotta interrogate the big one. Gent says, okay, I shoot the same guy again. I say, you only need to interrogate the fiend, and you get the feeling he's a mite bit tougher than the more human-looking crewman. So Gent skewers the defender through his right elbow, digging deep into his side and slaying him. Hex, on his turn, tries to heave the mast up again, and even with a 20, Hex strives with all his might, but he still isn't able to lift the fallen mast. Hex gives up and moves south. Bonus action, he lights up the crucifix scimitar. Hex menaces the foe. Connor is up next. Connor tries to lift the mast to his west, gets a nat 20 for 31. We say, wow, holy shit. Jen is like, nice. Paylor's might flows through Connor. It's so uplifting, he even gains advantage on his next roll. He heaves the broken mast aside, allowing the prisoner with their leg pinned under it to escape the vessel. Connor moves across to the other mast and flicks a level 6 spirit shovel at the finely dressed man on the eastern bow. Starboard? I've been just calling the top part the aft deck and the bottom the prow. I say to him because he's like, not sure. He whacks him. Connor bashes the enemy champion across the back of the neck. Dawn is still in effect.
Do you actually know the difference between port and starboard? Out of curiosity.
I don't remember. Now's not the time to ask me.
Well, it's real easy, Tom. Port is left, starboard's right. That's all you gotta know.
Okay.
The left of the ship is port, and the right is starboard.
I mean, me and my brother were both getting very confused here, because my brother said on the eastern bow, starboard, and then I said, I just been calling the top part the aft deck and the bottom the prow.
Well, wait, is the top the prow?
I think... In relation to the picture. I think I was talking about, like, the top part in the picture was the aft deck, and the bottom part in the picture was the prow. Which I'm not sure if that's right.
So the front of a ship is the bow. The rear is the stern. And then left is port, right is starboard.
Okay.
And left is red, right is green. You know, you often see the red and green lights on planes too, I believe.
Okay, nautical teacher McGill. Okay, Mr. Foot.
Look, I got. I got Gil right in my name. I got Gil right in my name. I have been called Gilligan more than once in my life.
Okay. So, the defenders move out of Dawn to engage Connor. Connor's cloak is active again, but let's see for how long. Connor manages to deflect two blows before one of the defenders finally gets a lucky strike in at his right forearm. Connor takes 15 damage from an enemy saber, slashing. The next glances harmlessly off his armor. The fiend at the prow of the ship snarls at Hex. Hex must make a wisdom saving throw. Connor used his advantage on his spirit weapon attack, and Hex is also immune to the demon's foul charms. The fiend strides 5 feet down the deck. One of the recruits ends his move in the effect of the dawn. Also, the champion should have to roll as well. Recruit passes, champion did not. This is all just for taking damage from the dawn spell. Two recruits fire blow darts at Hex. One hits. Hex takes a dart to the right thigh for 3 piercing damage after reduction. A swarm of scimitars descends on Hex from all sides. The first catches him off guard, cutting his left thigh for 3 slashing damage after reduction, but Hex valiantly fights off all the other attackers. The dehydrated recruit comes up behind Connor while 2 of his allies assault him from the side. Connor takes a slash to the left knee for 12 slashing, then 1 to the elbow for 11. Dawn is concentration, so Connor has 3 concentration checks to make. He gets 10, 22, and 23. A dart plinks off Connor's shield. 3 more recruits come up from the breach in the aft deck. It sounds like that's the last of the people below deck. The enemy champion climbs onto the fallen mast and comes running down it towards Connor. Inflicting a cut to his left forearm, followed by a critical strike to the head. Total of 32 damage to Connor. Gent is up. Gent disengages, takes a step east, and fires on one of the people attacking Hex. Gets a headshot. Hex is up. Hex roars and starts swinging his scimitar, starting with the recruit to his northeast. Reckless attacks. He cleaves the recruit's ear off. He gets a low blow, cuts off his left leg, and he falls dead. Hex spins around to the southwest recruit, slices into their right leg. They shriek as he withdraws the blade, blood gushing forth. Then he action surges, attacks another recruit, cuts the recruit in half at the waist. Turns to another one, hits him in the right leg, hits him in the right leg again, and then the leg is sent flying overboard as he severs it with his burning blade.
It's gonna need a peg leg now.
Bonus action, Hex draws the Apollo laser pistol and shoots the demonic leader, hits the demon's right wing, and then Connor casts heal on himself at level 7. So just healing himself for a ton of HP. Bonus action, he moves the Dawn to be adjacent to himself and the slave trapped under the mast. A defender attacks Hex with his saber. Both attacks hit. 2 defenders attack Connor with sabers. Connor must make 4 concentration checks, and he fails the last one. The fiend at the prow of the ship attempts to cast his fell magics on Gent. Gent must make a wisdom saving throw with advantage. Gent is immune to the fell magics of the fiend. Gent says, suck it. The fires on deck rage, throwing up sheets of steam and smoke where rupture in the deck is allowing ice-cold water to flood up from below. One of the recruits coming down the stairs is caught in the blaze. The recruits scramble across the deck, trying to engage the party while evading the blazing fires. 2 recruits strike at Hex and both hit for 3 and slashing damage respectively. Connor deflects 1 scimitar before 2 more crash into him for 10 and 4 slashing damage respectively. Then 4 darts fly Connor's way. 2 miss while 2 hit, one of them for a crit. Connor takes 10 and 22 piercing damage for a total of 32 piercing damage from the darts. Then the champion cuts Connor once across the back for 9 slashing damage. Then it's Gent. And I have an update of the picture for the supplemental materials. So hopefully we'll post these in order and you can sort of see the progress of them.
So, oh yeah,
things rage shit's, out of
shit's,
control.
Shit's going down.
Yeah. So Gent aims for one of the recruits attacking Hex. One shot, one kill. Gent says, boom, I will then move next to the champion and use fast hands to tap him on the shoulder. Hex's turn. He attacks the recruit straight south of him, still reckless. Hex stabs the recruit in the chest, then bisects him at the waist. Hex moves up and engages the demon, but quickly turns his back and attacks the defender. Strikes him across the right wrist. And then with an offhand attack with the Apollo, fires directly into the defender's hand. Connor takes advantage of Gent's distraction and blasts this guy with a shotgun. Blam, right buttocks. The guy who was trying to attack Gent.
So many people getting shot in the butt.
Usually it's stabbed. Boom, 25 damage. Bonus action brings the shovel over. Hits him. Left buttocks. Ah! 17 damage. And Connor gulps down a supreme healing potion. After Connor's, the defenders. Only one strike pierces Hex's hide for 7 slashing. Connor manages to deflect all the attacks coming from one defender. But the one takes advantage of his open flank in the meantime for 2 strikes. The fiend before Hex raises a hand of razor claws. Gratz calls for your blood. I shall have it. Hex grits his teeth and resists the tearing strength of the demon's talons, which do not penetrate the lizard's armor-like scales. The fires on deck are blazing out of control. If the remaining slave under the mast isn't rescued, he may burn alive. Connor takes 6 fire damage, reduced by his flame-retardant armor. Some recruits succumb to the flames as they rage across the deck, as does the champion. So some people are just dying in the fire. Gent says, there goes that objective. And I say, again, it's the fiend you need to interrogate, not the champion. And they're like... We just clarify that, basically. Connor manages to shield himself from a series of scimitar and dart strikes. Gent, I say you may want to try and save the slave while you have the opportunity. Actually, I'm not sure Gent's strong enough. And Gent says, I'm going to at least attempt. And Alex says, maybe assist Connor. That way you'd have advantage. And Gent says, sure, I will hold my turn to assist Connor. I say, okay, cool. A valiant effort in the face of intense danger to save a single slave on the brink of annihilation. Very in character for Gent. Hex spits. Gratz couldn't even handle Citra Akra. Let's have a chat. And then he presses the 3 button on the cube of force, which is the classic trapped in here with me move. I say, ha, sick. And then Hex second wins. But now he's in the cube with the demon that they're meant to interrogate. Connor dives to help the slave. Just as the flames are licking at the slave, Connor dives into them, lifts the mast, and rolls the slave to safety. The slave quickly begins crawling for the planks leading overboard. Then Connor will swing at the defender with his shovel, gets an unnatural 20. Connor takes 8 fire damage from diving into the flames, but it's basically a hero's sacrifice. He hits the defender, catching him across the left wrist. Connor drinks another potion, and that's Connor. I say, he knows they'll overheat before he does. And Alex says, doing the nesty plunge with healing potions. The defenders try to push through Connor, attempting to cut him down so they may attempt to maneuver out of the blaze, but Connor holds fast. Connor takes a total of 39 slashing damage from the desperate flaming defenders. The defender in the cube with Hex hits him across the right ankle with a saber for 7 slashing after reduction. The fiend attempts to strike at him, but Hex sidesteps him. Both flaming recruits manage to strike Connor for 14 and 15 slashing damage, respectively, rolling extremely high. Alex says, God damn, Connor's taking a licking. He then manages to catch another 3 darts on his shield, and Gent is up. And I've got another update for the... for the map. It's getting crazy in there. You can see how the people, like, there's enemies that are just trapped in the fire and they're desperately trying to take down Connor just to get out of the fire. But Connor's just, like, standing there. He's got
them trapped in there, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can
I also posted a meme about medieval people getting stabbed in the butt.
Yeah. FYI. I saw that. You can also see on the third version of the map, you can see the faint blue cube of force square around Hex and his opponents. So he's got one guy trapped in with him and then the demon. The demon, of course, is the interrogation target. Living matter cannot pass through the bubble, but spells and non-living stuff can. That's the setting he has it on. Gent aims for the goon west of Connor, the one that is just out of the fire. The recruit perishes in the flames. After Gent is Hex. Hex hacks into the waist of the defender and then goes for the throat. Final attack, decapitation. Third attack is against the demon. He strikes the demon directly in its rib cage. It scowls at him. Citra Akra is overrun. A fool's prize. And Hex says, "So, pawn of Gratz, you came here? Did the humans entice you with their little gems and baubles?" And he bites the demon. And he gets a 15 to hit, but that's his AC. 13 damage, and he says, "I think we agreed my bite was magic damage now." And I said, "Yeah, if applicable." That's Hex. Connor takes one fire damage from the flames, and then it's his turn. Connor casts Hold Person at level 5, targeting all three dudes in front of him, trapping them in the fire. One of them passes on their save, but the others fail. Bonus action Spirit Weapon will attack the defender that... failed. Logically, one of the frozen guys was a defender, he says. Say the one adjacent to it passed, and he's looking in bad shape, but we can do the other if you want. It's up to you. He says, "Oh, let's nip that in the bud then." He attacks the unheld guy, hits him for 18 force damage, pitches into his heart like fresh soil. You know, it's a shovel. The remaining defender continues to burn to death while paralyzed. Alex says, "What a rotten way to go," which is a reference to memes about Deus Ex. I don't know if you know that one.
No, I'm behind on my Deus Ex memes.
This is like the most classic one.
By which I mean I know no Deus Ex memes. No, you know what? I take that back. I know one Deus Ex meme. Can you guess what it is, Tom?
Is it "What a shame"?
I didn't ask for this.
Oh, that is a good one. Yeah, but that's sort of, that's new school.
Yeah, I'm definitely more new school Deus Ex.
Basically, you can watch this video on, you can watch this video in our show notes. Basically, the scripting doesn't quite, like, you can manipulate the scripting in one of the encounters in such a way that you can basically murder this woman's dad in front of her, and she just, like, and then your character just acts like he doesn't know what happened, and, like, as if someone else did it. And one of the things he says is, "What a rotten way to go," which is what my brother said to one of the guys burning to death on the deck of the ship. The fiend hisses. "Pa, you have it backwards, lizard. We are the ones who do the enticing." He gets a nat 20. Hex takes 9 slashing after reduction. The paralyzed recruit fries on the deck. Connor takes a dart to the right forearm for 16 piercing damage. Gent says, "Okay, I'm going to aim for whoever's blowing darts at Connor." They have 3 recruits to shoot, advantage on all of them, or a paralyzed dude who's burning to death, so one of the recruits. They get a big hit. The guy on the stairs is shot through the heart, and Jen's to blame. And anything else? And Jen says, that's it. And for Hex's turn...
Hey, the blame wasn't implied that time.
Hex says, it's better than dying paralyzed in flame. And I say, this crew gives Agarlock a bad name.
It's nice that recurring joke reached its logical conclusion eventually.
What, just like a whole chorus?
Yeah, just doing the full line.
Yeah, well, we came up with it. It's all because of this encounter, because the next line is my brother saying it's better than dying paralyzed in flame, which is happening to a lot of the enemies right now. And then I said, this crew gives Agarlock a bad name. They're the flagship. They're just dying left and right. They're on fire. Hex drops the flaming sword and swaps to his Apollo. He says, right, I should have figured. The devils have their insomnium, so obviously the demons need to have their own little side project. You guys are so alike. The fiend scowls as he blasts it in the gut. 14 radiant damage. Didn't you figure it out when we assassinated Dio and his aides? This struggle is pointless. You cannot win a foothold here while M'Pok guards this plane. This is still Hex talking. Gets another hit. Blasts the demon for 16 radiant. The demon grits his teeth as the shot digs deep into his leg. Grah! We'll see about that. My kind are not as weak as the feeble mortal residents we found here. Hex says, you sure about that? You're looking a little flustered. Takes another shot. 15 radiant damage. Fires a blast which removes some of the 6 clawed fingers from the right hand of the demon. He snarls and narrows his eyes. You seem awfully well informed. And Hex says, and you seem a bit in the dark. Hex chortles as he goes for another meaty bite. Unfortunately, he gets a 10 to hit. I say, dangus. Jump back to Connor. Connor takes 8 fire damage from standing in the fire. It's reduced by his flame retardant armor. He passes concentration, walks out of the fire, drops concentration, and casts banishment on the demon. Hey, tell your boss I got a place he can stick all 6 of his fingers. And the demon disappears.
Did he disappear up the place to stick the fingers?
The defender dies in the flames. Connor is hit by a dart for 13 piercing damage. It's Gent's turn. There's just two recruits left at the back of the ship. Gent fires on one of them. One shot, one kill. Hex deactivates the cube of force. Moves up the eastern side of the boat and yells at Connor, I wasn't done yet. He was telling me everything. Connor says, oh, I'm sorry. You said the cool one-liner. I thought that was that. And Hex says, I said like 3 cool one-liners. They don't mean anything. This is also, again, just Alex talking to himself because he's playing both characters here. So then, like, really proving he's got the skills for it. Connor throws a guiding bolt, hitting the remaining recruit for 16 force damage. The recruit cowers behind the railing of the aft deck. The shovel moves up and swings. He hits him. He's barely standing. A dart flies harmlessly over Connor's head. Gent takes the final shot, hits him. He falls dead, tumbles over the aft deck railing into the fire. Gent says, I think this is where we exit. Alex says, was the elf the hostage we were here for? I thought we needed to search below decks. And I said, Gent got them first thing, put them on the Bloody Fury. They were the hostage on the prow. Alex says, very good, let's jet. They each gain 2,000 XP, bringing them to 345,900 XP. It's 346,100 XP, and so they're, like, within 9,000 XP of level 20. And for this theater of operations, everyone gets an additional bonus of 1,000 gold on completion. So Gent's new total is, we basically measure it by Gent's because I got access to her total, becomes 23,004 gold pieces. There will also be some gold, some loot gained from the wreck of the Royal Flagship that will be given to you guys. We can cover that next time when you proceed to the coast and are picked up for delivery to the next theater of war. And that was where we ended that session.
Wow. Are these literal theaters of war? You said this was like in an arena, right?
Not theater in that sense. So in the module it's based on, it is in an arena. In this one, it's just the coast of Agalog.
Okay, so it is the metaphorical term theater of war. Yeah, I was wondering if you were making a pun.
Because the first one is the naval one, then they're going to go in by air on cloakers, and then finally there's going to be the ground assault. But they're done the first one.
Man. This is a huge, huge op. You weren't kidding.
Yeah, I mean, and coming right after a pretty huge battle already. We're really in the heat of it.
It's exciting. Let's do that regular check-in that I do, though, where I go, so, like, how much is left between where you are at in describing the campaign and where you will be catching up to when you resume it?
Because
that gap is getting smaller by the episode.
So we've got two more parts of this op. Then there's another final op for the taking of the mantle. Then there are two more ops at the end of this act that sort of transition us into the final act. Then in the final act, I have done five ops. So seven ops and 2/3. But they can be of wildly varying length.
Well, no kidding. I mean, this one off has been, I want to say, like five episodes.
I mean, yeah, just the first part.
Yeah.
But I mean, these crazy things, man. These ones took a long time to run. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's a big epic.
Yeah, but like I said, we started this, like this session was back in the summer of 2021. And so, you know, I'd been playing before we went on hiatus. There was like at least a year there of like stuff that I still have to cover of sessions.
So, do we continue, Tom, or should we pop over to the Danger Room for some skate wizardry, as it were?
Let's pop over for skate wizards, because I think, I don't know, that was a pretty big, intense thing, and I don't know.
All right, so, here we are in the Danger Room, and we're talking Skate Wizards, a steezy role-playing game about radical and arcane shredding of the gnar. This is by, and I'm going to apologize for potentially mispronouncing these names, because there are a few ways you can pronounce these names. I haven't heard them spoken. So, Skate Wizards, the art is done by an artist named Michael C., and I think it's Sing, but it could be Sung, H-S-I-U-N-G. So, Michael Sung or Michael Sing. And musician, it's either Levi, or Levi Nunez of Loot the Body. I think Levi Nunez of Loot the Body, maybe. and they collaborated to create this RPG Skate Wizards that is, it's a little 23-page document. It's filled with great art, and I teased it at the beginning. I'll just talk about the Skate Wizards bundle that I bought my friend Mike for Christmas. And what you get in the bundle, it's all the source books and all that are printed very much like zines. Like they have almost like Bristol board covers to them, and they're all filled with like monochrome art, just stark black and white, like it could even have been photocopied kind of thing. And the big selling point on this for me, aside from it just being funny from a like game flavor perspective, is the artwork. The artwork, which you can also see in the music videos by Loot the Body that are all over YouTube, it's this really awesome, like almost like lithograph looking art, and it's just depicting all these cool wizards skateboarding, and they've got staves and wands, and they're smoking on their pipes. And I just love every bit of artwork that's in it. And the bundle, you get the Skate Wizards source book, which has all the rules to play the game. And then you also get an art book called An Illustrated History of Famous Wizards and Magical Creatures. And it is just art. There's no text in it. It's just all cool pieces of art that aren't in the main source book either. So it's like bonus art to accompany your Skate Wizards game. And then on top of that, you get some character sheets, pre-printed character sheets, and you get a cassette tape of the soundtrack to Skate Wizards, all of it by Loot the Body. You also get a code for Bandcamp, so you can download it in digital form if you don't happen to have a cassette tape deck. But I loved the retro quality of putting your game's OST out on an actual physical tape. And then because I don't think these are standard with the bundle, but when I ordered it for Mike, I had to get in touch with Michael Singh directly so that it could be shipped to Canada from the States, because they didn't have a ship to Canada option right on their website. They just had a note saying, like, get in touch and we can ship this to Canada if you want. So I got in touch with Michael Singh and said, like, hey, I want to order this bundle for my friend. And he goes, yeah, and you know what? I'm going to chuck in a whole bunch of extra little goodies to wish him a Merry Christmas. So Mike's bundle also came with some rad stickers of the Skate Wizards. And it also came with a little bag of RPG dice. They sent him, like, everything you could possibly need to start playing Skate Wizards, except for a pencil. That's really the only thing he'd have to provide. He got the dice, he got the multiple character sheets, the source book, book of artwork to inspire, and the soundtrack. Like, man, what a great product. Really love the design.
Yeah, that's kick ass.
Yeah, I thought this was really dope. And like, shout out to Michael Singh. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, but you rule. You really came through, and Mike loved his present. And I'm going to read a few little blurbs from early in the book just to give an intro and some context about Skate Wizards, because you'll see very quickly that the RPG itself is pretty simple. Like, the source book is 23 pages long. It is not a very complex system. It's more about the flavor. And I will say, too, that a running theme throughout this book is the wizards, they really like smoking that weed. They really, the wizards are all smoking up, and like special magic pipes are items that you can get. And on the official character sheet, it's not depicted in the source book, but on the official character sheet that came in the bundle, your defense score, the box that you note it down in, the box is shaped like a marijuana leaf. So smoking the weed is definitely a part of these wizards' lives. And just about every image of them has like a big cloud of smoke hovering over them. So because it's all weed themed, I think part of the intent here is that it's easy to play and pick up if you happen to be stoned. So here's some of the background. Yeah, man, Skate Wizards. Skate Wizards is a fantasy adventure game of exploration, problem solving, and arcane skateboarding tricks. This zine will walk you through character creation, basic rules, and an adventure that includes non-player characters and four mini dungeons. Here's the background. Ages ago, the world was civilized. Various cultures thrived and were protected by wise rulers wielding powerful magic items. One day, barbaric warlords invaded from another dimension. They turned the world into a wasteland, and when there was nothing left to destroy, they turned on each other. Today, with the warlords long dead, the leaderless remnants of their diminished hordes roam the land, seeking to snuff out the embers of civilization. In this critical moment, a call for help has been sent to a remote peak where legend has it, the Skate Wizards preserve the last source of pure magic. You are a Skate Wizard, a member of the Hermetic Order of Skate Wizards. Once you rolled in the lowlands, and before the trouble came, you had retired to your sanctuary high in the mountains with your remaining brothers and sisters of your order. There you delved deeply into the mystical skateboarding arts. And goes on from there to sort of talk about, you know, the call to action. And, you know, you answer the call and roll down intent on locating the long-lost magical items that could stoke the dying flames of civilization. So that's the setup. There's like there's a big evil force roaming the land that want to wipe out civilization and the Mystic Order of Skate Wizards, kind of like the Jedi in Exile, right? They're called upon to come down from their mountaintop and save the day. And Tom, we're going to do some character creation because a lot of this can be done just with random rolls. You can also choose a lot of these things, but you don't have the source book with you, right? So let's do some dice rolling. Grab yourself a D6.
Okay.
Okay, so the first thing that wizards, the first thing to do in character creation for Skate Wizard is abilities. And this is another case of there being three attributes: strength, dexterity, and will. You know, we know RPGs, so we know what each of these do. But the interesting thing is that in this case, you're similar to Gozer, you roll on a table to determine your stats. So roll a D6.
I got a 6.
So you have +0 in strength, +1 in dex, and +2 in will. So you're sort of magically powerful, but not physically powerful. Then each wizard gets 4 health and 6 defense. Those stats increase as you level up. Each wizard can cast 3 spells anytime. These are the cantrips of the Skate Wizard. Ramp, sidewalk, and rail. And in each case, you're just summoning that thing. So you cast ramp. Well, the tricks are a different part of it. The tricks that you do on your skateboard are a different feature of Skate Wizards. But the cantrips are the things that you trick off of. So you can summon a ramp about the size of a park bench. You can summon a sidewalk. Or you can summon a long magical rail as tall as a picnic table. So just like how to easily get around on your board, and you can cast them anytime, as many times per day. So I guess that makes sense. If your skateboard is your primary means of transportation, you can just be like, oh man, okay, well, we're at the edge of a desert, so I cast sidewalk, and then I'm going to cast ramp at the end of the sidewalk to jump over that dune. Next, the rando spells. Starting PCs get 1 rando spell per day. Once that spell is cast, PCs must wait until the next day to roll for a new rando spell. So you just get like 1 random spell per day, and you get a new one every day. But it replaces the old one. So get out a D12, Tom. The way you generate a random spell is, of course, with a random table. And it's 4 columns. So roll that D12.
1.
Okay, roll it again.
9.
1, 9 again.
2.
1, 9, 2. And finally, one more time.
19, 25. 5.
So your rando spell is awesome revealing air chain. Each of these columns has like the first column is an adjective, the second is a verb, the third is a noun, and the fourth is a noun. So like, you know, awesome revealing air chain, or you could have a dope consuming earth bucket, a killer shielding sound mattress, a hyped summoning spirit tree.
Okay.
And that's as much of a definition as you get for your rando spells. So you just interpret it however you want. The effect of the resulting spell will be determined by the PCs and GM when it's cast. And then you also get bootleg spells. Skate wizards. You might be hearing my wife's gerbil-like sneezing in the background. Skate wizards also have access to a sweet and arcane collection of 6 skate videos. At the start of each day, PCs can prepare one bootleg spell from this collection. So roll 1d6. Oh, and you can also choose from this list, but roll 1d6.
3.
3. Trailblaze. You leave a trail of fire in your skateboard's wake for a full minute. And whenever a bootleg spell is used, you roll a 1d6 to determine if the videotape survived. On a 1-3, hey, the tape's good. You can rewind and cast that trick again. But on a 4-6, tape's busted. You can't trick again. You can't cast the trick again today. You get 3 items to start with, and this you can do with a d12. So roll that d12.
Okay. 10.
10. One of your items, you got rope, and it says it's made of hemp. Obviously. Roll for the second one.
Same dice?
Yeah.
12.
12. Ball bearings. A pouchful taken from the prototype of a new mega skate wheel design you've been messing with. So you have hemp rope and a bag of ball bearings, and you get one more item.
Oh, it's just 10 again.
Roll again.
9.
9. And you also have an oil flask. Viscous lubricant, flammable, and tastes great on salads. Other items include staffer wand, the smoking pipe, shield, lore from yore, which is like one of those plastic milk crates full of magazines. Retrieved from under a mattress, this stack of old skate mags contains articles and tidbits about various cultures in bygone days. And then here are the basics of the rules. Like I said, this is all very straightforward and easy stuff. One player acts as a GM, everybody else is a PC, of course. Whenever possible, a PC's actions should be resolved by a player simply describing what the character does. But if the action is risky, the GM may call for a danger roll. The PC rolls 2d6 and adds the relevant bonus, and you want to just get above 10. If the total is 10 or higher, the PC avoids danger. Oppose rolls. If a PC takes action against another one, you want an opposed danger roll. Both PCs make a danger roll, trying to beat the other's total. Defender wins on ties. Initiative. Both sides roll a die when combat breaks out, re-rolling any ties. The side with the higher roll will act first. Very easy. And then this also has an advantage or disadvantage system, but because it's not using d20s, the idea is instead of rolling 2d6, if the PC has advantage, they roll 3d6 and they use the 2 highest. And then likewise, disadvantage is 3d6, use the 2 lowest. Combat is pretty basic. Attack roll, 2d6. Add his or her attack bonus if applicable. The attack roll is total is compared to the defender's defense number. And if it exceeds, it's not meet, it has to exceed, it deals damage, again, depending on the weapon. If the attacker rolls double sixes, it's a critical hit and damage is doubled, or some other effect of the GM's discretion. Casting a spell is one action if cast during combat. The GM is the arbiter of how the spell manifests and how it affects the current situation. And then there are a few other mechanics like money or encumbrance that you can use if you feel like. I thought this was pretty funny, but if PCs attempt to use non-Skate Wizard magic or their health drops to zero or less, their magic abilities are extinguished, their board shatters, and their appearances are diminished. Roll 1d6 to become a poser. Roll a d6, Tom. What happens when your wizard might have died, but instead they become a poser?
A two.
You wear the latest streetwear. In one hand, you're mall-grabbing a skateboard that has never been and will never be used. In your other hand, you're holding a sending stone with which you're live-streaming to an audience of zero. You poser.
Boo.
Boo. Yeah, there are a few of these. Here's another one. You have a two-wheeled scooter, which you can't use, but you insist on explaining why your scooter is just as cool as a skateboard. You have a sensible haircut and wear a suit and a tie. You have the irresistible urge to convince the skate wizards they should monetize their brand. So, I do appreciate that instead of death, you just become lame. You just become, like, very uncool.
I choose death.
like
the gozer.
There's some healing options here. Here's a fun thing. Leveling up. All skate wizards begin at level 1 and gain levels over the course of the campaign. GM will grant XP for every yes on the following 3 questions. There's one in here that I really like, Tom, and I bet you'll be able to guess which one. So if you answer yes to these questions, you get 1 XP. Did you overcome a difficult challenge? Did you recover a magical item? Did you show up to the game?
Nice.
So, I just like the idea. It's like you get a point if you showed up. And you know
good
what?
Answer.
Yeah, and you know what? That's pretty worthy. So I'm not gonna do the whole mini adventure because it is a chunk of this book, and I don't want to really spoil it. I will say that one of the additional cool things is that there's a big table for skate trick names that you can roll on. It's very big, but it's always like, you know, the squiggly Def Jam with a funky pop. They all follow that sort of layout for the trick names.
Spinwise Turducken.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that kind of thing. But that's it. Like, that's Skate Wizards. Very, very straightforward. Like I said, to me, this is, like, all about the flavor of the game and the awesome artwork. And, like, my theory is definitely, if you got a bunch of people who are hanging out and they've all gotten high together and someone says, I want to play an RPG, this would be easy to pick up, especially given the fact that a lot of the elements of character creation, you have the option of choosing, but a lot of the time you can also just, you know, I don't know, man, roll the d12. There we go. Okay, I got a ranged weapon. All right. It's a crossbow.
Would you be able to share anything about the antagonists in this game? Like, is there monsters or descriptions of the bad guys or anything like that?
I think that most of the monsters are contained in that supplemental book that I talked about that I don't have a copy of, History of Wizards and Magical Creatures. But let me just
do a
quick Google search here. Because there's one thing in here that I might be able to talk about. So the monsters are pretty standard D&D ones. For example, the different dungeons, there's the Gauntlets of Ogre Power. So, you know, ogres are in there too. The Tomb of Silas the Slayer. The Horn of Valhalla, they throw in some Viking stuff. Axe of the Dwarvish Lords. One of the big villains is Mystak the Necromancer. So I want to say just like all very straightforward, standard fantasy RPG things. Like, here, you know what? Rather than being elusive, I'm not gonna spoil too much, but I'll talk about the Tomb of Silas the Slayer. Small bone fragments surround a crumbly stone archway. Beneath the rubble is the entrance to the Cave of Whispering Bones, where rumors say the Gauntlets of Ogre Power can be found. So, like, that's sort of the bulk of what they give you. They just give you sort of a bare bones description and let you fill in the rest. There's Grell's Coffin, a booby trap with a spring-loaded blade that does 1d6 damage. There's a mechanism room in a dungeon, contraptions that work the booby traps in the burial chamber. The Axe of the Dwarvish Lords, magical, unmeltable, and lodged between two boulders. Magor the Shellback, a grizzled veteran of many wars, an easily provoked bugbear who tries to relive his glory days in battle by picking fights with everyone else.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, so just like reading through this, it's like, think the standard D&D monster manual, you know, a bit of flavor thrown on it, but we're dealing with those very standard fantasy RPG villains. Like, here's stats for hungry, blood-sucking bats.
Oh shit!
Rats in this dungeon in the Tomb of Silas the Slayer. Yeah, dragons, ogres. Here, do you want to... Let's generate a skate trick. Roll a d20.
20? 10.
10. All right. It's a soggy jortle goat with a fuddy boo.
Damn.
Roll it again. Sense.
d20?
Yeah.
Six.
You just pulled off the upside yanker plop with a rising melter.
Man, I can't believe it.
So, yeah. Like, I can't say that I got too much more... too many more thoughts on Skate Wizards. This is one of those things where, like, I don't know if I would even play it. I'd probably just play a system that I'm already familiar with and throw this kind of lore all on top of it. But I just like that it exists. I like how it's put together. The product for me is the thing that I like the most.
I mean, I think we could say that of Gozer as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Though I do think that Gozer, at least the product, it had enough in it that I feel like I could, as I mentioned, I could just play it solo as a journaling RPG because I could just roll endlessly on all the tables. I could roll, you know, where do I go next? What does it look like there? Who do I encounter there? That's what I mean. Whereas this one, it's definitely leaving most of it just straight up to the player's imagination.
Cool. Wow.
But I like it. I like it a lot. Much like everything else that I've said, so much of the joy of this is the illustrations, right? Like, I talk about the adventure, the Axe of the Dwarvish Lords. It's got a bit of background. It's got some NPCs, like Ferna Stompfoot, a feisty halfling stuck inside the belly of a huge snake she managed to kill. Ferna will ask to be cut out and then immediately start searching for Sweetness, her donkey, who can be found 5 minutes away, resting on a warm stone slab.
Oh, that's nice.
So, like, again, just like stuff you'd find in a D&D module, but it's got all this really awesome artwork. They do something in Skate Wizards that I haven't seen anywhere but in your notebook, Tom, which is some of the maps are presented from a side-scrolling view.
Ah.
Never seen that anywhere else in RPGs. Like, I've never downloaded an RPG module that has a side view map. The only other place I've seen it is in your notes, and now here it is in Skate Wizards.
Yeah.
And yeah, each of these adventures is only like 2 pages long. It's got the background, it's got the NPCs, it's got a map with a legend, and then it's got the sort of aftermath of the adventure section.
Neat.
Yeah. Once the world was cool, then it sucked for a really long time. Now it has a chance to be cool again, or suck forever. It's all up to the Skate Wizards. Man. Oh my god, I just noticed that the illustration on the back cover is a skate wizard on his skateboard. He's smoking his big pipe. He's got a giant boombox over his shoulder, and he's being drawn forward, like pulled by a centaur who looks kind of like Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. He's got a big paunch belly. And as the centaur is walking forward, he's just taking a pee. He's peeing as he walks along.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, that is Skate Wizards.
And I think that's our episode. If you want to get in touch with us, see when we post new episodes, or just follow us in general, check us out on Facebook, Comparing Campaign on Facebook. If you got any comments on the show or anything like that, you can message us through there. If you want to see our supplemental materials and show notes, that's where we'll have pictures of the map as it progresses, as the fire blazes across the flagship.
Expect a map, expect a meme about getting stabbed in the butt, and then probably also a screenshot of this peeing centaur illustration.
And a classic Deus Ex meme if you've never seen it.
What a shame.
What a shame. What a rotten way to go. Until next time. Don't steal, because it's probably haunted. But always use the whole meat.
Level up. Get those skate tricks.
Yeah!